Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, in Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. It's a new month. Would you look at this November? Ooh, not a lot of time in the 2-1. Mm-mm. It's about to be the double deuces.
Yeah.
Ooh. Mm-mm-mm. So if y'all said in January 1st, if you did the resolutions and all, you hadn't done anything yet. Mm-hmm. Well, you might want to table it until next year, because you don't have time. You simply do not have time. Anyway, that was a fast first hour.
It was.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, a couple things. Coming up at 5:30, I'm going to hear from the Democrats. This is Andrew Remus, the Tennessee Democratic chair. And be talking with him. And because I believe in fairness, I am going to ask the Republican chair as well. And as to if he will come and talk with me, that's an entirely different subject matter that we shall discuss at length during that time. And if he doesn't come, and we have to call and call and call like we generally have to do with the Republican Party or the Republican representatives, we have to call and 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 call. And then I'm like, enough already.
Scheduling conflict.
Yeah, enough, enough, enough. I'm going to tell the people that I tried. It's like, you have got to be kidding. Oh, Lord. Anyway, having said that, so, I mean, why lie? I just should just tell the truth. And, because the truth works better. Anyway, it was cold. Wasn't it cold?
Ooh.
I had to look in the closet and say, hey, heavy coat, where are you?
Yeah, I had to take mine out.
Oh, yes, it's no more sweaters. Those down. I said, I'm putting you to the curb, sweaters. Oh, yes, I
saw Dr. Glover in the parking lot. I was like, man, let me let you, because I was talking to this man, you don't have a hat on, let me let you keep walking.
Oh, no, I'm sure his wife will be on his case about that. Like, what you doing? You know you're not 12 out there with your head uncovered. And, you know, because I noticed you had yours on.
Yeah.
Oh, you learned a lesson from a prior years.
Yeah, that weather didn't creep on. It just dropped. It just dropped like, bam.
It didn't drop like it was hot. It dropped like it was cold.
Yeah.
Okay? It just really let us know. Brought the plants in. I'm like, oh, my babies, if I don't get them, it's over. They will be laying to the curb. And, freeze warning for us. Ooh, from midnight to 9 a.m. Hmm. And that's, that goes through tonight through tomorrow.
Okay. Wow.
That's serious business. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, the temperature is going to be in the upper 20s and low 30s. Ooh, Lord. Help us. It just went like so quick. And that's for most of the mid-state area. So in this region, we're going to feel it. It's going to kill some crops and other sensitive things. You know, your plants survived last night. I don't know about tonight. You might want to bring them on in if you really love and care for them. If you don't, then, well, it's whatever. But it's now, if it's this cold this early, mm-hmm. what does this tell us now that we're in for it? I think it's going to be a very cold winter.
Cold winter.
Yeah. So, you know, I would say that it's going to be hard to find certain things because, you know, We already have certain shortages of certain things.
Get it early if you can.
Yeah. Don't hoard, people. Don't do the 1,000 rolls of toilet paper at your house and your house only. That's not necessary. And then you're stopping up everybody in the neighborhood's toilet. Anyway, having said that, we are in for some cold, mighty cold nights. Tomorrow the sun will be back in 54. But this, like, 32, the next two nights, ladies and gentlemen. And on Friday, we're going to get close to 60. And over the weekend, it does warm up. So we will have an opportunity to thaw out. And no mention of precipitation. So maybe we can slide through these cold snap days here. And wait for the sun to come out tomorrow. Now, there's a couple things I wanted to mention. That I was looking at, and you know, someone asked me about this, and I was like, oh Lord, if I start talking about this, I'm gonna be upset. So anyway, I'm going to do these two news stories before I do others. Newly approved legislation would mean Tennessee schools, and it's out of Nashville, will have to jump through even more hoops if they want to implement mask mandates to prevent the spread of COVID-19. The strict new rules are part of a sweeping bill Republicans signed off on in the middle of the night, may I say, burning candles. In the middle, don't turn the lights on, the Democrats are going to see. Oh, my God, y'all. Really? We don't want them to turn wearing masks. Oh, my. I mean, oh, Lord. At nausea, y'all are just out of control. Boom, boom, boing. It's just so off the chart with this. I can't wear a mask. I can't. I'm like, what? Oh, Lord. And the children, their lips are going to fall off if they wear them. I'm like, y'all, really now? Come on, really? They were in the middle of the night plotting, and they worked to undermine numerous COVID-19 protective measures. Lawmakers were willing to back down on measures targeting private businesses after industry groups balked at mask requirement restrictions, and rightly so. This legislature is sounding almost like an authoritative government we have going on in this state.
Yeah.
You know, are we going to be allowed to think anymore? Are they going to come over here and shut the mics off?
These are the people who wants to take away women's rights.
And no, these are the people who are they hate the government, remember? And they are the government. The legislation now goes before the governor. We already know what he's going to do. Get his rubber stamp, please. You already know. Stamp Bill Lee on it. He hadn't said what he's going to do, but you know, it's just really clear that what he's going to do.
That's all he's there for anyway.
Stamp
stuff.
Yeah, it's the big one.
Yeah, there's no leadership. Just put it on my desk. I'll sign it.
No, you don't even sign.
Just stamp it.
Just get the big chad rubber stamp and just hit it one time. Anyway, it's just sickening. Anyway, these things are out of control because some of these requirements and mandates and, you know, here's the one that just is like, you just want to tear your hair out. Now, they want to give unemployment benefits to people who want to hold out for COVID-19. But he snatched the benefits from people who were trying to stay home. Remember the extra government benefits?
Get up off your duffs and go to work with a mask on.
Now, you see, this is not even about the health of the people. It's about politics. Could you please get back to saving our lives? If not, come out of that Capitol.
Isn't the governor a business person, owner, stuff like that? Wouldn't some of these policies affect his bottom line?
Oh, That would be interesting if they did an investigative report and found out.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's not important.
Though. Well, no, because maybe his customer base is people that think like that.
Yeah.
Get up.
I need y'all. Don't worry about no masks. Just go up in people's houses and you know.
But I mean, there. But the irony of this is the very he snatched the money.
Yeah. I remember that.
Early.
And said that,
from that
because
program,
people needed to go back to work.
He cut it off, right.
He cut it off, said that
and,
it was lazy.
And so now,
yeah.
Oh, Lord, let's help these poor people because they don't want to wear a mask.
Yeah.
I'm
so now
like,
we're
going to
give.
On.
Now, how do you prove that?
Come on, man. I mean, seriously, that's so flamingly obvious that, I mean, that is just. Help us go. Please, Lord, help us. I mean, this stuff is so completely
been going
out of
on
control.
Now. This is like year five since that dude took office. And so where's the Democratic Party on this? There's no pushback. There's no voice. There's no... What's the word?
Well, I mean, even if it was, it's not strong enough.
Yeah, where's the press? Okay. I mean, this...
It's not strong enough. And you know it's on in the media and on the dial. I mean, you know...
It just seems like the Republicans in Tennessee just do whatever they want.
In the middle of the night.
Especially in the middle of the night.
Burning candles.
And there's nothing. No word, no outlet,
now,
no nothing.
Hold on.
Uh-huh.
Here's more.
Oh.
I'm not done.
Here's more.
Along with the centerpiece bill in the middle of the night, y'all know I just read it to you. Lawmakers also voted to eliminate the ability of six independent health departments in large counties, and by the way, that's our county is one of the six, to issue their own preventative health orders during a pandemic. Oh no, we will not have y'all
overreach?
Trying to save our lives. Oh no, I mean, come on, y'all, really? Even as Republicans, this doesn't even repulse you. I mean, they also voted to allow partisan elections for school boards and allow the attorney general to replace a district attorney in the case in which the prosecutors has refused to enforce certain laws, Glenn Funk. I mean, they're saying that one was for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just so...
Crazy is officially running the state.
It
now.
Is so obvious. This is so obvious. You don't even have to be Ray Charles spinning over in the grave to be able to see that this is so wrong. It is so wrong and so out of touch and out of step with a state that is trying to be as progressive, wink, wink, as Tennessee is trying to be with attracting all these corporations and these tourists and your images. And then you get here and they say, nope, we're going to think for you because we're the Tennessee Republican legislature and we rule it, baby, top to bottom, left to right, forward and backward. Lord, y'all have work to do. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. We're still looking at this crazy slow traffic here on 24. It's westbound, like you're headed towards the Jolton area. There's been a crash over here just past Brawley Parkway. Again, that's north of the city. Now, if that's not bad enough for you, 65 is really crawling because of an accident northbound on 65 up in Millersville. This traffic report brought to you by Ripley's Aquarium in the Smokies. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
AP News Service on Jazzy 88 is sponsored by Walgreens Stores and Walgreens.com.
Support for WFSK comes from the Global Education Center, presenting a year-long Black Arts in America project. On Saturday, November 6th, the Global Education Center welcomes the family band The Settled Connection for a concert of all things Americana, touching on folk, traditional, and gospel music. The band was formed by Odessa Settles as a way to honor the band's father's contribution to America's traditional performance art culture. Walter J. Settles' legacy includes being a former member of the Grammy-winning Fairfield Four. The concert will be at 7 p.m. on Saturday at the Global Education Center on Charlotte Avenue. Tickets are $15 and available on the center's website. That's globaleducationcenter.org. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in it. Oh, yes, I am the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK. Before I talk to the guests, I want to mention a community reminder from the Metro Health Department, while we're still able to talk, before the state takes that away from us.
I know, right?
Anyway, COVID-19 community assessment centers now have fall and winter hours, and that starts on Monday. They'll operate from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday for adults, teens, and children aged 5 to 11 years old. Testing and vaccinations at all assessment centers is free to the public. No appointment is necessary, and walk-ups are accepted. You can receive both a COVID-19 test and a COVID-19 vaccination at both sites. This is for the Pfizer only. The centers are located at the former Kmart at 2491 Murfreesboro Pike and at the 28th Avenue North site. That's 350 28th Avenue North, and at the Health Department's community pop-up vaccination clinics. Those seeking the vaccine for their children can also check with their pediatrician, nearby pharmacies, grocery store locations, and walk-in clinics. For information regarding the Metro Nashville Davidson County's COVID-19 response, visit asafenashville.org. And thank God for you all. And we have an independent health department that is not trying to hurt us. They're trying to save us from ourselves. And I thank them every day for continuing to do this work to get families healthy and healed. And it just, we can't thank you enough. And I've gotten my health department's, I've been three times vaccinated. Three times I have had them. So I wish y'all would quit playing out there. Because, I mean, it's getting to a point where we're going to start getting testy. Because we've done it. We've done everything we have to do. And you all are still sitting here trying to fight health and life. What in the world? Now, having said that, Hendro, how are you today?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm well tight as a drum, honey. I have so much on my mind about this legislature. I am about to scream because they are out of control. Now, is it Remus?
Remus.
And are you new to the chair of the Democratic Party?
I am. I've been here 10 months.
Oh, okay. You brand new.
First African-American job.
You are. Well, look at the Lord. Yeah. God take it, honey. God. Now, that is just beautiful. First, after all this time?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, what? That's,
first.
Yeah, that is amazing. How long has the party been there?
for our state, since the founding of the Democratic Party, you know, the founders are right here from in Tennessee. So since the founding of the Tennessee Democratic Party, for you know, almost 200 years.
And you're the first.
We're just now getting an African-American chair.
Now, look here. I'm getting ready to call my Democratic friends and people I know right now. What? Y'all, you're this late to the party? What? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so I heard you. Are you from Memphis?
I am originally from Memphis. I've been living in Nashville for the last 6 years.
Okay. So the observations that you have from being in the two largest cities of the state is that there's a lot of work to do.
There's a lot of work to do. Obviously, politics from region to region in the state are drastically different. Mm-hmm. But a lot of work to do.
Well, and knowing that you had to hit the ground running, you didn't have an opportunity to get familiar with a lot of people, places, and things. And where is the party now that we had the election last night and you saw the results, and we still are steeped here in this state in Trump country? You just probably never sleep.
I was watching the results late into the evening last night. I wanted to see all the exit polls. I wanted to hear all the commentary. But to my graciousness, a lot of it was in line with the thinking that my staff and I have been talking about for the last few months. Mm-hmm. What we saw in some of those exit polls, what we saw in some of those results, what we saw with this critical race theory and wrapped into the strategy for the Republicans. We've been talking about those things for months here at the state party and how we combat our strategy for 2022, our planning for the future. I think we were probably in a better spot, and we probably should have been advising the folks up in Virginia on some of the things that they could have done better. So I think what we saw was obviously a surge in voter turnout for an off-year election last night in Virginia. But what I believe we saw was a need for Democrats to be able to deliver, but to also be able to combat some of the craziness that's out there as well in a way that can connect and resonate with people.
Yeah. Well, and I can tell you from having to fight the fight with, you know, in 2020 and having to deal with Trump and all his chaos and confusion, and you know, some of us are exhausted. Okay, we like, can we get a breath of air, please? And this what Youngkin did to me was slick, in that he knew exactly and precisely what he was doing. He read the tea leaves. He knew how much boogeyman to throw in for the white people, and he knew how many feet away from Trump he needed to stay. He is definitely very, very crafty. So that right there kind of concerns me. What kind of concerns do you all have about him? Because he's about to change the tone and tenor of the state of Virginia.
Yeah, and obviously that's going to also mean for parties across the country. Mm-hmm. As a party chair here in Tennessee, we've got to pay attention, because if it works in Virginia, Republicans are really good at being copycats. Mm-hmm. At what works for them, whether it's bad messaging, bad legislation, if it moves the needle to give them more power, mm-hmm. they're going to grab hold to it and really start gravitating towards that message. And we believe not going to be any different. I mean, just moments after he declared victory last night, we had Marsha Blackburn almost repeating verbatim critical race theory in our schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's that type of reality that we're going to be up against. Yeah. We've seen that they're willing to go to any lengths to hang on to power. And right now, the flavor of the day is critical race theory and restricting anything that even resembles it from schools, and rallying suburban white parents around those efforts, making this division mm-hmm. a scary scenario, just father dividing us. Glenn Youngkin reminds me a lot of Bill Lee.
Yes, amen, brother.
So it's type of hypocrite type of demeanor, same type of dog whistle style strategic gravitas. I mean, so we're anticipating that we'll probably see some of the same things from Governor Lee and Tennessee Republican legislators we start to roll into 2022. But for us, that means we've got to get some stuff done. Democrats in Washington have got to deliver so that we have a stronger message to be able to go out and sell to folks across our state.
Well, and I would say that's just some of it. Because, you know, these southern states, when they lock horns and they get together, they do a lot to, you know, Virginia's right here by us, you know, up in the Upper East Tennessee area. And, you know, that's a stone's throw, Bristol and all that. I mean, you know, that's quite white. And that whole area is. And I think it's the challenge is also not just for the black people to have to do all this work, but for the white people to be of assistance and quit fanning the flame of, oh, I'm scared of the black boogeyman. I mean, this reminds me of the same thing that Ronald Reagan did, and the rest of the people that, you know, always had to find a black boogeyman to scare, you know, white people to death, to get them to white voters, to get them to get in line. And because this critical race theory is a college course, not an elementary school course, not a junior high school course, not even a high school course. It hasn't even been an issue anywhere in this entire country. And so people have grabbed the, is it the word critical? Is it race or is it theory that scares everybody to death? I mean, it just is like they're gripped in fear behind this. And I don't know, Hendro, if we're going to come ungripped from that.
Well, the thing is, we have Republicans. Right now, they're trying to do everything they can to seize control of our schools, whether it's through critical race theory, whether it's through choice, whether it's through trying to make nonpartisan elections for school boards, the law of the land. I mean, they're trying to do anything they can to seize control of local government. And unfortunately, you know, I hate to say it, but there's a lot of people out here who have grabbed hold to a political strategy that they didn't even really know anything about. I mean, you ask them, what is critical race theory? They can't tell you. Mm-hmm. You ask them, an example of critical race theory, point out a school or a teacher or date or time that somebody has taught it. Mm-hmm. They'll tell you, well, matters. Then what does matter if you're talking about it and if you have made it a central part of your platform future? Obviously, we know that this is a southern-style politics. Mm-hmm. Make a racial issue something bigger, much bigger than it is. And unfortunately, there's a lot of voters who just are not willing to let go and see through I'll use a better word, but look through the drama that they created.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was the Willie Lynch thing, and then it was the black women taking the welfare queens. And, I mean, it's always, you know, black people we're always the ones. And so I don't know if it's the word critical or the word theory. I just think because the word race is in it, there is a great American freakout going on. And when I heard him using that, I'm like, oh, Lord, here we go. And sure enough, it set the state of Virginia on fire last night, because they were like, oh, no, please don't tell our children. Oh, you know, and I was just thinking, like, what is it that you don't want your kids to know? Is it about great-grandpa or great-great-grandpa or your cousin? I mean, what is it that you really don't want them to know?
And I think what's so sad is that he took a world-renowned author, Pulitzer Prize winner, Toni Morrison, and made this black author the central focus of his messaging in his fight on critical race theory.
Yeah.
I think that was critically, just a critical error on their end. If you wanted people to think this wasn't about race, then you should probably have used a different tactic. But we understand. I mean, we know that they're using a dog whistle approach to connect with those who still have a whole lot of racial animosity that's out there, a lot of racial sensitivity out there, and they've created an issue out of something that's an issue.
Well, and I would tell you that internally in the party, there is so much work that the Democrats have to do amongst themselves that it is just literally not funny. And because of that, the cohesive and the tight, if it took Tennessee Democrats this hundreds of years to before they got their first African-American state head in this state, it's shameful. That's number one. Tennessee, should not have ever taken this long to have someone over this party. And we're the voters. Excuse me, I vote in every election, Andrew. We're the voters that the party is going after and wanting to be. Would you interview me, Sharon Kay? I want to be on your show, Sharon Kay. I mean, because they know that I don't speak to the conservative audience. They listen, but that's not who I target. But I'm just saying, but they have to do a better job of being more inclusive, not just at election time, but all the time. And so, Hendrel, I hope that they will learn while you're there some things about how to make our tent as big as the Democrats say it is. Show us what you're working with. Please. Anyway, yeah, I mean it. I don't have a dog in the fight. I just, I vote. And I don't play, and that's simple as it is. Anyway, if you have a question or comment about last night's elections, or if you want to talk to the chairman of the Tennessee Democratic Party, Hendrel Remus is with me, and I'm happy to have him here. My number is 615-329-8810. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
Sharon Kay. Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. We're still looking at this crazy slow traffic here on 24. It's westbound, like you're headed towards the Jolton area. There's been a crash over here just past Brawley Parkway. Again, that's north of the city. Now, if that's not bad enough for you, 65 is really crawling because of an accident northbound on 65 up in Millersville. This traffic report brought to you by Ripley's Aquarium in the Smokies. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Support for WFSK comes from the First Art Museum, now presenting Mary Sabande, Blue, Purple, Red, through January 2nd. In this exhibition, artist Mary Sabande confronts the racial, gendered, political, and economic inequities in South Africa through her hyper-realistic sculptures and photographs that prominently feature powerful black women. Come experience these stunning and emotional narratives of resignation, hope, and anger. The First Art Museum is open Thursdays through Sundays and is located at 919 Broadway in downtown Nashville. Learn more at firstartmuseum.org.
Up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, in Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And thank you to our listeners listening on the way home from work in traffic and wherever you are, at your desk or wherever the case may be. Thank you so much. And, of course, the global family who finds us early and often at WFSKFM.org. And Hendrel Remus, the Tennessee Democratic Party chair, is with me. And I'm very, very happy to get an opportunity to talk with him. And Hendrel, this is not going to be your last time talking to me, okay?
All right.
And because, you know, I feel that the time of year, this year and next year, I'm just not a one-shot blow-through thing. You know, that's not how I do. And because I have questions, and that's why the name of the show is What's the 411? Because I want to know. So if I have a question for you or future discussion, I'll be sure to, I told your team today, I'll be sure to have you back. Now, let me ask about where you see the biggest problems for Tennessee in the year 22 and going forward as far as the race for governor and on them and the other candidates that are seeking other positions. Where are your strongholds and where is your focus right now?
Well, I think our biggest concern right now is with redistricting. We don't anticipate maps coming out until sometime early next year, which we anticipate will be a nightmare scenario that we're going to be facing. So it's hard for us to say right now exactly where or what specific races will be target races. We know geographically some of the areas will be kind of focused on because of demographics and historic turnout and all of that, but reality is we just won't know how the districts crisscross those areas. From the state party perspective, I think our focus in 22, 24, 26, and beyond is building a state party infrastructure that can actually deliver results. I'm not afraid to say it. We just hadn't been really good at connecting with people, organizing and turning out and mobilizing people across the state. I mean, we're 46 in the nation in voter participation. There's a whole lot of votes still left out there to get, and we just hadn't done a great job at getting it. So we've got to make sure that we're doing everything we can to turn people out, but also turn people on to the issues that's going to be most important and that's going to move them to the polls. We've set an ambitious goal of trying to register 200,000 new voters ahead of the elections next year so that we have a fighting chance. And then we're going to just focus on obviously turning out our base, but trying to turn out some surge voters in key counties across the state. There's places like Memphis where we should be turning out a much higher number of the electorate. We're registering many more African-American voters. Places like here in Nashville where we should really be driving up the surge numbers on Democratic voters and turning out next year, trying to turn out as close and the numbers of a presidential election. One of the shiny moments from Virginia last night was the voter turnout. I mean, it was historic voter turnout in an off year. So it's going to be important for us to try to drive the numbers up just the same here in Tennessee next year. We've got three candidates who are actually in the governor's race right now. Dr. Carnita Atwater from Memphis, Councilman J.B. Smiley from Memphis, and Dr. Jason Martin. I think all of them are dynamic candidates. We've just got to make sure that we have a strong state party that they can depend on to run a very strong coordinated effort once the primaries are over, and be prepared to actually go after Governor Lee in a way that has been after before. We know that here's a guy who ran for governor as being this this faithful, holier-than-thou man of God, but he's unleashed absolute hell on the state.
Absolutely.
So we've got to make sure that they're going after him at all stakes. And we want to. Our goal is simple. We want to run the numbers as large as we can in the cities, compete aggressively in the suburbs and close the margins just enough in some of these is to really make a difference and move the needle as much as we can to try to get our party out of the super out of the minority and the Republicans out of the super majority. So 33, trying to get as close as we can to 33 House members is going to be a goal for us.
Wow, that's would make a difference, because this lockstep is just it is just too much, and everything that Ron DeSantis does or any of the other Republican governors do, you can pretty much guarantee that Bill Lee is going to have it duplicated by 24 hours before he starts conjuring it up in the state of Tennessee. It's nothing original coming from him. He's just doing the playbook, and it just is sickening. And the people here just drink it, you know, like it's sweet and good. But it really is not. X, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I just want to say congratulations, Chairman Remus, on your new position. And so I just want to speak candidly to you from someone who is a member of the NAACP and served, you know, there and over the years and having been living in Tennessee for the past almost 30-something years. I recently relocated from Davidson County to Montgomery County, and some of the things that I see taking place and that I've been seeing taking place, especially in these past 4 years, and now we're working on five, even though the former guy's not in office, is, you know, I know that you all are busy. I know that it takes money, but one of the things that I think that we can benefit from that I saw the Republicans do, especially last night, is what Trump did. Go, you know, some of these rural areas where we always assume, like even in Marshall Blackburn's district, there's no pushback. Everybody in some of these strong Republican cities and counties aren't for mask, not having a mask mandate, not getting vaccinated. I just feel as though in the state of Tennessee that we're not working together collectively as one, messaging, media outlets. In Montgomery County, I would love to get busy there trying to help register people to vote, trying to identify where, if there's an office there. I can't find a thing. And I've posted, I've emailed people. It's sort of, things are sort of in a disarray in the state. And I know that you're new to the position, but I'm just sort of giving you the man on the street type of word. And it just seems like we're not concise with our messaging. For 4 years, we've been traumatized by the former guy, and we've been traumatized by this governor with all the shenanigans that he's been doing and the legislatures. And it just seems like it's almost crickets coming from the Democratic Party in terms of what are we going to do? I know what we should be doing, and how are we going to do it? We're ready to roll. We're ready to get out here and take action, but we just don't know how. We just don't know unto whom to turn.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be the first to say you're absolutely right. That's one of the top priorities for us. I mean, I share the same sentiment. I think the messaging, not just here in the state, but across the nation, the Democratic messaging is just non-existent or is ineffective. One of the things Republicans do a lot of terrible things, but one of the things they do extremely well is that they're always on point with messaging, no matter who they're talking to, whether it's speaking at or what they're talking about. They're always on point. They got so many outlets and people, surrogates out there delivering the message, and we've got to get to that same place. We have been working diligently to obviously use research to come up with a smarter communication and a smarter way to message people, way that it'll resonate to them. But then we've been working hard behind the scenes to get everybody on the same page. This is the first time, since I've been chair, this is the first time that our state House caucus, our state Senate caucus, and the state party are actually working in lockstep on developing what candidates are saying, what elected officials are saying, what state party leaders are saying, and then what our state party stakeholders will be saying across the state, because everybody's been scattered and all over the place, and we hadn't found anything that really gotten traction. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Vincent Dixie and I have been committed to is, if we're going to be effective, then we've all got to be singing from the same sheet of music. Regardless of what county you're in, you might be singing in a different key, but ultimately we need to be singing from the same sheet of music. And then we need to be trying to replicate what places like Georgia has done with rebuilding relationships and the state party not trying to take on all of the workload. But if there's organizations or people who are willing to pick up the pieces, we need to be willing to give them resources to register voters, to help mobilize and organize voters. And we just passed our state executive committee just passed a new party platform. We're working to release the final details on our strategic plan, our 10-year strategic plan. One of the things that I wanted to make certain of when I took on this job, you know, being the first African-American, obviously I want to make sure that I'm not the last. So I want to make sure that I actually deliver results. And before we start throwing initiatives and plans and ideas out there, I wanted to make sure that we had something concrete that could actually deliver results. And I think we're there. We will be working with county parties and stakeholders over the coming months and going into 2022 to really enact key parts of that strategy to be able to deliver results and not just pay lip service to the things that we want to do. One of the reasons I ran for state party chair is because I believed that for so long we've been trying to just pick up the pieces and run election cycle for election cycle, with making it up as we go along, and really having a concrete infrastructure to be building on after every election. And I wanted to make sure that we got that right. And I think we've got a strategic plan that's going to be able to help us do that.
Well, and go ahead, X, because yeah, I want to
finish. And that's all I want to say. You hit the nail sort of on the head, and I'm sure Sharon can concur to some of what I'm about to say, but I'm going to share a secret with you. And that is, earlier on, when I was trying to learn how to produce talk shows and things of that nature 20-something years ago, I would listen to them because there wasn't anything else out there, them meaning the Republicans, and every message, no matter where I went, was the same. If I listened to radio, it was the same as television. If I listened to a different, so the same as what you're saying, every friendly, everybody that you can come across, that the Democratic Party of Tennessee can come across, like this outlet that can get the message out there, it has to be the same, it has to be concise, and it has to be done forcefully so that the message can resonate exactly like what you're saying. And to hear you say sort of that there's no framework for it and you're putting it in place is shocking.
It's called repeat, rinse and
there
repeat.
It is.
Rinse and repeat. Rinse
this
and
is
repeat.
Shocking.
Rinse and repeat. And that has been forever. That has been the key to their victory, is they keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And if you believe a lie, you hear a lie long enough, you're going to believe it. And that stuff really truly works. And, you know, you can brainwash people real easy if you tell them over and over and over and over until they're insane with it. And then they begin to repeat it as well. That's the formula that is being used. Okay?
Now we call them talking points.
Yeah.
You can tell when somebody's with them because they all sound the same. Well, how is that possible?
Well, it's because they're reading from the same sheet. That would be the same choir book, right?
I call it the radio effect. It's like driving along, and you hear a song, and you say, "Oh, I hate this song." But then you're singing along with it at some point. You're like, "How?" Because you've heard it so much, and they've been that effective to show voters in that party.
Yeah. And that is messaging that is tough to beat, but the Democrats are going to have to do it. Now let me say this, and I speak black and white because I'm too old not to call it like it is, so don't let this scare you, Hendrel. The white Democrats have work to do. This shouldn't just be the black people pushing the rock up the hill. It's not fair that we should have to do all the work and go out here and do everything to get these people elected. And now that's not fair. And I think that is what is hurting the Democratic Party, is they're expecting the black women to bring it on in all the time. The sisters will. Stacey Abrams and her gang, they'll just do it. But that stuff is no good. It has to be down for everybody. It should not be just, let's get the black women. We're not the pack mules of the Democratic Party. So that message needs to go out loud and clear. If it's our party, it needs to be our party and not just a few.
Yeah, I think we have to be building the largest, broadest coalition, and everybody's got to have some skin in the game. And then when we have an opportunity to deliver results, we can't leave behind the folks who helped to send us to power. we've got to make sure that we're pushing legislation that actually helps to elevate and better the lives of black and brown people in the process. So I agree.
Well, and I think the work should be equal across the board. So, you know, and I have a lot of white Democratic friends and business people that I know. So, you know, and I'm serious. I'm not playing. And, you know, it is what it is. And I just feel like it's very unfair all the time that, you know, if whatever we're the difference. But yet it takes us 200 years to get in a position of leadership. I mean, there's no excuse. So we have got to do better. We know better, so let us do better. And Hendrel, I have a good feeling that maybe you may be there to get the job done. So I look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Face to face, okay?
Yes, I can't wait.
And it's going to be fun. I know I sound like, but really I'm sweet, you know, really I am. You're like, oh, God, this woman. But, I mean, this is the energy that I have. And I like to see things get done. And I've been, you know, behind the microphone for a long, many, many, many moons. And so I paid attention to what's going on out there. But this was good to hear from you.
And I want him to know that we are encouraged and ready to roll up our sleeves and work.
What did I just say?
You said that, but I want him to know.
I said black women.
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't mean it like that. I mean, I want him to know that there are people out here energized. We're just waiting. We just need him. You, sir, Mr. Remus, that Chairman Remus, we need you. Come on down to Montgomery County. Come on down to Davis. Come on out here, man. Rile us up.
He's down the street.
Yes.
It's the Democratic Party.
Yes. That's what we need. We need to, but someone we can point to and say, yeah. I'm tired of hearing Marshall Blackburn and Senator Hagerty.
It's time to go. Yeah. Okay, so I didn't mean to get him fired up too. Okay, I'm sorry, Andrew. You just with this.
I love it. I have love it.
I forgot. I'm just like, this is an empowerment show, so we got you pumped at 6 o'clock. All right, it worked for everybody, y'all. Anyway, listen, I appreciate you so much, and please keep in contact. Let me know how things are going, and tell whoever your PR person is there. Who I am, so when I call, they won't be like, who and what do you want? Oh, that's your cave over the fence. Yeah, that's me. Okay, listen, you have a good one. And for folks to find out more about the Tennessee Democratic Party, best way to do it is
they can go to our website, tndp.org, or follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We're always there. I look forward to meeting as many of you, and thank you all for having me. I can't wait for this 2022 journey.
Okay, excellent, because we'll be talking about it big time here. Anyway, have a good night, and you take good care now here, okay?
All right. Thank you all.
Uh-huh, bye-bye. Well, that was interesting. I think I scared him at first. I do that from time to time with people. I don't need to scare you. Oh, Lord. I mean, it just is what it is. But, you know, you see things and you're like, help me, Father. You can't help but, you know, because you just see things that are unraveling and coming apart, and there's no need for it. You know, this country is bountifully blessed, and the people in it are. And we're not grateful at all about these blessings.
No, we're not. You can spend $3 trillion in Afghanistan, but you can't spend $1 trillion at home.
No, cannot.
What?
And so I just, you know, it defies logic. Anyway, having said that, you will have the very best of the best. And don't forget who loves you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.